In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings,
digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Dr. Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. So these past few days, I've been revisiting my 2016 Game of the Year pick, Valhalla, as it just got released on Nintendo Switch. I will have my full thoughts on that either on B3 or Esh later down the line, but it's still as great as it was back when it was first released a couple of years ago. But one thing that continuously impresses me about this game is how layered everyone is in the character development realm. The likes of Jill, Dana, Gil, Dorothy, and all of the customers that enter the cyberpunk dystopian bar are not just cookie-cutter folks just to push a story along. Tsukiban Games legit molded every person you come across in this game with so much backstory that can easily fill an entire game campaign alone. I know that they're currently working on Nirvana right now, which I noticed this time around Valhalla actually referencing halfway through the game, but I think it would be great to see a game that gives a spotlight to many of the folks that roam Valhalla. Like a game that focuses on, say, working with the White Knights, a rhythm game starring Kiramiki, a hacking title based on Alice Rabbit, a newspaper simulation title based on Donovan and his augmented eye, and even a game that focuses on Dorothy's day-to-day routines as, well, let's call her a companion bot for the sake of the children who may be listening, even though there's an explicit label on these podcasts in iTunes. Hello there, little cunts! So, there are so many options. I don't know why I just did that, but anyways, there are so many options and roads Tsukiban Games can take with the characters of Valhalla, and I hope they consider these options somewhere down the line. But yeah, if you haven't, please grab Valhalla. It's legit the greatest visual novel I've personally played. Again, review of the Switch version is being worked on now, but consider this a huge verbal recommendation for the time being. Right then, let's get this episode of No Borders, No Race rolling. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all of their music on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. Today, we're opening the show with the badass ladies of Otoboke Beaver. They just finished a European tour and are prepping for their next Japan one, and I really hope they do a US one soon afterwards. From their fantastically loud new album, Itekoma Hits, here at Otoboke Beaver with Bakuro Book. Bakuro Book, Bakuro Book, Bakuro Book.
Bakuro Book, 若葉節はリベンジのポルノ。 黒を君はこれ切れて言って脅すけど無論あなた主張しに私は二の次分かっちゃいるけど暴露本恋してまねん仕組って千年引火してかなたルール違反恋してまねん引き抜って千年引火してかなたマナー違反恋してまねん仕組って千年引火してかなたルール違反ノ
with Roku Denshi from their second album, Young and Pretty. Last October, the Cro-Magnons, the current band of Blue Hearts members Hiroto Komoto and Masatoshi Mashima, released their 12th album, Rainbow Thunder. It's pretty impressive that those guys release an album almost every year since their founding in 2006. Still, really want that Blue Hearts reunion to actually happen. Folks, I've been a lover of Pokemon since 1998, around the time the anime started airing in syndication. And ever since then, I've always hoped and imagined that I would one day see a live-action version of it brought to life. And now, 21 years of waiting and dreaming of what it would entail, I finally got to bear witness to a Pokemon world brought to life on the big screen. Pokemon Detective Pikachu is that film, and it is everything that my 13-year-old self has ever wanted in such a Pokemon movie. Now, I do not want to go too deep into what goes on in Detective Pikachu, because right at the get-go, there's a plot device that's revealed that makes the whole film all the more fascinating to experience. But the story of Tim Goodman, played by Justice Smith, and the talking Pikachu he finds roaming around his father's apartment, voiced by Ryan Reynolds, hits all of the right marks on how to craft a fun, humorous, and action-packed mystery based on a beloved video game franchise. What helps are definitely the actors getting into their roles and not looking like they're in it for a paycheck. Seeing the likes of Ken Watanabe and Bill Nighy looking like they're both having fun and taking their roles seriously goes to show how much love and respect they have for the franchise. Hell, Bill Nighy has already stated that he's now an avid Pokemon Go player thanks to participating in Detective Pikachu. And seeing Chris Gere, who always made me laugh as Jimmy on the FXX series You're the Worst, show up as Bill Nighy's son was a wonderful surprise to the mix. But what's important most is the chemistry between Smith's Tim Goodman and Ryan Reynolds' Pikachu, and it fortunately works like magic. However, the real magic is seeing these beloved Pokemon brought to life. Never did I think I was entering some sort of uncanny valley setup where things just didn't look right. Okay, there is one part of the movie towards the end where Uncanny Valley does happen, but it's too good of a visual joke to spoil it here. A little hint, though, it involves something that you might recall from the very first season of Pokemon, and a certain shape-shifting Pokemon to boot. But looking at the likes of Bulbasaur, Psyduck, Mr. Mime, and Charizard in this form makes me legit hope that we'll one day get a Pokemon game with this level of visuals. It simply looks amazing, and the worlds they roam around just mesh so well. Pokemon Detective Pikachu is the video game-based movie we've been waiting a very long time for. After years of mostly disappointing affairs from people who don't know video games from their elbows, it's nice to finally see some love and care placed into something that has such a massive love and following as the Pokemon series. And considering that a sequel is already in pre-production, it seems like Warner Brothers is confident that this take on the beloved classic will catch all of its viewers by surprise. Pokemon Detective Pikachu gets a near perfect 4.5 stars out of 5, with the 0.5 docked off due to it having a bit of a slow first few minutes. It does take a little bit, but you will be greatly rewarded in the long run. Right now, we're going to play you a song from my neck of the woods. The band is called Resorta Rosa, and a few months ago, I saw them play live in Opus in Salem, Massachusetts. Their music blew me away, and I told them to keep me posted whenever they recorded something. And sure enough, they kept their word. So here is the first single from Resorta Rosa, and it's called Nothing Means Everything.
Taking over every road you've got. Hey, Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
Why so silly earth? No wind is living, energy going on. The pussy mana manen, ni yorokobi muda. I'm dancing in the madness, chizome no sora. Utsushita deep into the madness, kawa no hitomi. Sukete wo ubatte, mitasarete, hara ga tsukeba, mata kurate.
OXT with Laughter Slaughter off of last year's debut album, Hello New World. The duo of Tom Hack and Masayoshi Oishi have just released a brand new single entitled Golden After School, which currently serves as the end theme for the new season of Diamond No Ace. Now, here's a band that I wish was still together, but unfortunately I've yet to find anything about where the band members went and the like. They were called Giddle Giddle Hustler, and this track was on their long out of print record, Q. This is Pink No One Piece. We'll be right back. From the not witchy streets of Salem, Oregon, that was Good Godfather with Baptismal Fount from their latest album, Chronicles. If you find yourself in Oregon on June 1st, you can catch the chamber music for the modern era sound of Good Godfather at Midway Music, where they'll be sharing the stage with King Ghidorah, the Kronkman, Fox Medicine, and ASB. It was reported by Consequence of Sound, which our buddy Cap from Nerdy Show works for, that two genres of music close to my heart have been on the rise of popularity as of late. According to the music distribution company TuneCore, which tracks music via Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify, and roughly 150 other streaming sites, both metal and J-pop have shown the most listenership growth in the last year. Via both streaming and downloads, metal music has seen a rise of listenership by 154%, whereas J-pop has had an increase by 133%. And considering that this tracks streams and downloads worldwide, that's a lot of new J-pop fanatics and metalheads. And personally, on the note about metal, it is high time for metal to gain mainstream traction once again. With the rise in popularity of Ghost, as well as hotly anticipated releases from the likes of Rammstein, Sabaton, Baby Metal, and Tool underway, we can expect there to be more of a rise in that listenership as the year progresses. Honestly, there hasn't been a time where metal was this popular in the soundscape probably since the late 90s, when artists like Korn, Godsmack, Slipknot, and Linkin Park were the hottest artists on the planet. And while hip-hop, you know, specifically anything revolving around Eminem, overshadowed metal, it had a grasp unlike anything else. Even the likes of Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys couldn't keep up with the metal scene, you know, despite them having higher record sales for the most part. I feel like there were more people buying metal then than pop music in general. Now, we can debate over whether or not these late 90s metal acts were good or not, and I would probably make you cry uncle until you'd agree with me. The point is that, according to these numbers, more people are going over to the dark side of metal. And metal music has proven to be quite the stress reliever, and considering the stressful times that we tend to be living in right now, it shouldn't be coming as a surprise that more people are running towards loud guitars, banging drums, and powerful vocals that metal often delivers. And while these stressful times suck, no doubt, at least good bands are finally getting noticed because of it? I don't know. I would rather have a stress-free world with metal being popular between you and me. But yeah, I am very happy with metal music growing in popularity once again. And the same goes with J-pop. And okay, if you're wondering why I chose to focus on metal in this section rather than the genre that I actually specialize in, well, as someone who became a metalhead first before a J-pop fanatic, I really wanted to showcase my excitement for the dark side this time around. I love my J-pop, but holy shit, when a good metal band comes, I am all over it like stink on shit. I mean, after all, it's my show, damn it. I can talk about whatever the fuck I want. You know, except politics. I learned that the hard way, but yeah, I am really big into metal. If I could, I would both do a J-pop show and a metal show if I had the time. But I don't have the time, and considering that J-pop needs a bit of a push more than metal, I'm happy just to be doing No Borders, No Race for the time being. Okay, I kind of rambled a little bit there. My apologies. But why don't we mix up my love for hard music with J-pop via a brand new track from Larkon Ciel and Vamp's frontman Hyde, who just released an excellent English language album entitled Anti. He's currently touring the US, and I'm still weighing my options on whether or not I should go to the Cambridge gig this coming Friday at the Middle East. Might go, but we'll see. From Anti, here's Hyde with Fake Divine.
Destroy my faith. Fighting your games, destroy my faith, and I don't wanna play it again. Offending my race, no, I won't fight in your games.
everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
ダメダメ現実現況現金限界一切合戦飲み込めお前も一人前だ頑張るよって応援なんだか若いの娘だか本能心臓大混乱出したくない僕どうにもなりませんって
それでいいわけないだろ
さあ飛び出すぜ
さあ
乗り添う
咲く
べきなのさ
それ
運命人生ロックならもうないせいでなそろばん弾いて小さな子供の計算逆算123って世の中通してずらずくにゃしぶとくなくちゃいけません負けるないさあなたです勝ち組負け組よろしく僕どうにもなりませんって
それでいいわけないだろ
さあ飛び出すぜ
さあ
乗るそぶ
咲く
べきなのさ
それ
運命人生ロックなら悔いもないせいで泣くのが嫌なら
いざいざ
ワンツースリーアポーさあさあここらで言ってく
パッキンしたよスーパーパーソーパーパーソーダンダンソーダンダンスーパーパーソーパーパ
ーあーむちょさてまた一だそれは生きるということだここらで一丁一肌脱ぐぜあとは野とあれ山とあれ頑張ることは愛なのだ言えるもんなら言ってみな頑張ることは愛なのだ
言えるもんなら言ってみな
さあ飛び出すぜさあ乗るショルさあ飛び出すぜさあ乗るショル人生ロックなら苦もないぜ
From the sadly out-of-print album Sky Zero, that was Asakusa Jinta with the fun and wacky Ride and Bend. Despite no new releases since 2013, the group continues to perform live all throughout Japan with their next gig at Musician Fest 2019 on May 25th. Check out its official site for more details. From Liverpool, England, this next band goes by the name Big Tide, a sound concocted by frontman Ben Thomas's disappointment with the electronica scene. I mean, you know, electronica isn't bad, but one can totally understand his perception of it. One can only partake in so much of an ultra music festival before everything sounds a bit samey. But anyways, Big Tide just released their debut album, Sink or Swim, and from that record is a song that I think a lot of us should take to heart. It's You Can't Live Your Life on an Email.
You can't live your life on an email, in my inbox in a single one. You cannot deliver from evil, because the postmaster is dead.
Yamayumi with Thank You from their groundbreaking album, Nice. The duo last year released a new single entitled Susume Nonsense, so here's hoping that a new album may be in the works. You know, folks, if there's one thing in gaming that I can't stand, it's microtransactions. I can understand why free-to-play titles have them, as that's how developers earn money from them. But when you have video games that already cost $60 at launch, and you fill them with these pay-to-win techniques, it legit feels like the game's trying to steal money from you. Where publishers have made billions of dollars from these tactics in games like Star Wars Battlefront 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, and the NBA 2K series, it makes zero sense for them to, like, charge anything whatsoever. They should be free, in my honest opinion, right at the get-go. Even worse are the loot crates and its gambling aspects. Although I'm indifferent to loot crates when it comes to cosmetic items, it's when companies start putting in items that become true necessities to gain victory where huge problems arise. It's especially an issue when young kids get involved and wrapped up in this mess, possibly going the lengths of using parents' credit cards behind their backs to gain a temporary upper hand. This leads to future gambling problems in their, like, more adult lives, giving way to various forms of addictive personalities and the like. In some countries, these loot crates and gambling-based mechanics have been rightfully outlawed or at the very least regulated, and it looks like America may be following suit. Senator Josh Hawley announced that he is currently working on a bill that would ban most loot boxes, especially for games that are aimed at kids like Star Wars or any of the 2K sports titles. Considering that a lot of publishers have been intentionally making games a grind, so players are forced to pay more out of pocket to get things quicker that should have been gotten quicker in the first place, this could very well curb them from pulling such bullshit tactics in the long run. And to be blunt, loot boxes and microtransactions in $60 games have completely ruined games in general. You know, some folks may wonder why I often focus primarily on indie titles. Well, it's because of these greedy tactics from the likes of Electronic Arts and Activision that make playing their games a lot less fun than they used to be. I used to enjoy playing Battlefield and Call of Duty, even with friends, but the way they copy and paste their campaigns and gameplay is just flat out lazy, and then they have the audacity to expect me to pay more out of my pocket to experience something that came with the full package in the previous title. And for 2K games to add these smartphone elements to sports titles, is just a slap in the face to any fan of the sport out there. You know, I seriously doubt that a baseball club would force its players to pay out of pocket to use a different bat that's in the clubhouse, so why the fuck should players in gaming be forced to pay for their dumb upgrades and the like? Hopefully this bill gets passed. Normally I hate it when the government tries to regulate something in gaming, like, you know, violence and sexual content, but this is something that I think I can be okay with them putting a cork into. Publishers are ruining their own franchises because of greedy tactics, and pulling loot boxes and microtransactions out of games will force them to be more creative with their titles and actually use their brains and not their wallets to entice players and the like. And on top of that, for the love of God, please stop coming up with season passes that have content that should have been in the main game. You know, that's just being petty as fuck to your consumers. Okay. On to some more music. Up next are the Emeralds, a mainstay of South by Southwest's Japan Night Tour back in the late 2000s. They currently go by the name The Rubies, though I've yet to stumble upon anything of theirs under that guise. From Love Is Rolling, here are the Emeralds with Shibuki to Dream.
Honey, 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 honey 上に乗り空へと舞い上がって欲しいになる昨日もともっと輝かせるのさ
Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life, and hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ithinkthisisgreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great. Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Single from Abel Ray's The Cane, that was History Scenes, and this is but a mere peek at what's to come from Gary Hughes and Company. I've been told that more songs will be unleashed very soon, with fingers crossed that it will lead towards a brand new album.
Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration provided for this week's track from Big Tide, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. And a shout out to Abel Raise the Cane, Resorta Rosa, and Good Godfather for sending down their music to play on this week's episode. And a very special thank you to Kim Thompson for last week's contribution to Shameless Tuesdays. On the next episode of Wicked Anime, we dive into why video game movies often fail, as well as showcase some more of our favorites from the current spring season. That's all happening this Thursday on the Nerdy Show site and wherever podcasts get their podcast on. We're going to end the show today with a song from Yuki, one of my personal favorite performers in the J-pop realm. From her latest album, For Me, this is Crape Myrtle. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. guys. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.